Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. So on behalf of the risen Lord, again, welcome to each one of you. I was just struck by the sharp contrast. We had just a wonderful, thoughtful Good Friday service. Dark as we kind of walked with Jesus and what he suffered, the growing shadows into darkness of his death. And here we are, Easter Sunday morning. What a contrast that we get to celebrate, kind of the completed work of redemption. So again, welcome to each one of you. I'm kind of new around here, by the way. I'm Neil Jaspers, the transitional pastor here at Discovery. I spotted all kinds of faces that were new to me. So if you're a guest this morning, special welcome to you. We hope that you will sense God's presence, the joy of this moment, celebrating that Christ is alive and he's got transforming power for us and the whole world. For guests won't know this, but I do like to share a little humor before my message. I'm getting kind of deep in my humor file here, but so here's one, and this wasn't me as a young boy, but after church on a Sunday morning, a young boy on their way home suddenly announced to his mother, "Mom, I've decided to become a minister when I grow up." "Well, that's great. What made you decide?" "Well, I have to go to church on Sunday anyway, and I figure it will be more fun to stand up and yell than sit and listen." That wasn't me, so I promise not to yell this morning, although Christ's victory is reason to raise a voice. This morning we are going to, our key verse is out of Philippians chapter 3. It'll really draw on the resurrection account that we read at the very beginning of the service, but then the New Testament is designed, the Gospels largely give what happened, what Jesus did and said, and then his apostles in the letters and the books later on, they interpret it and say the significance, what it means. And this is Paul now in Philippians 3. And I'm going to read just verses 7 to 11, but our focus is going to be on the early part of verse 10. Paul writes, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." And now the key phrase that I want to open up, Paul says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How many of you have visited the Niagara Falls? Let's see a lot of you, and it's worthy. If you haven't been, you should someday. No doubt the Niagara Falls is one of the great natural wonders of the world. I mean, a huge wide river pours hundreds of feet down over this escarpment. You can hear the thunder of the falls from far away. The weight of the water falling that far creates this whirling cauldron. Boats who are taking tourists have to be really careful not to get caught up in the whirl. And the falling water creates such a spume of mist that it creates sort of a constant drizzle that you need full rain gear if you want to stay dry. It is a scene of raw, unbridled power that just keeps on coming. And if your heart starts pounding around power, then you'll appreciate the resurrection story. In Matthew's account, which we read, it is crackling with power. It begins at dawn when several women go to visit the tomb of Jesus, and suddenly Matthew records there was a violent earthquake. And earthquakes pack immense power, and not just an average earthquake, this was a violent earthquake. Verse 2 continues, an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now that stone was large, heavy. It was sealed to the tomb. The stone was meant not to be readily moved to prevent tampering or theft from a tomb. And so to move that immense stone took a prodigious display of power. And then this description of the angel, his appearance was like lightning. I mean, think of the raw power of lightning. That somehow captured the angel's presence and appearance. But all of this is a mere prelude to the supreme display of power. The angel said to them, "He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. He has risen." Just three words, but they point to the pinnacle of God's redeeming power. You know, sometimes we think that God raising his son Jesus from the dead was, just a snap, no big deal. But not so. From the picture we get in Ephesians 1, death is a formidable foe. Death is a formidable foe. It took power to overcome death. And so in Ephesians 1, verse 20, Paul describes the working of God's mighty power, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And to me, it brings to mind a weightlifter. You know, the only time it's ever televised is at the Olympics, but a weightlifter who exerts every last ounce of strength to hoist a huge weight. Resurrection power. So creating the heavens and the earth required an epic display of power. If you've ever done some hiking in major mountains, or scan the stars at night, you know that. In the same way, raising Jesus from the dead required an epic display of power. So in one sense, the whole Bible is an account of God's power, first in creation, then in redemption. By the way, I want you to notice, too, how this power ripples between the three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So here Paul talks about God raising, exerting his strength to raise Jesus from the dead. And we know at Jesus' ascension, he was lifted to God's right hand in heaven, where he was given all power to rule over heaven and earth. And then at Pentecost, the Spirit is poured out, and the Spirit pours out resurrection power to his people. So the three divine persons, all working in tandem, all with this amazing power. And here's good news for us today, 2025. God's resurrection power isn't limited to one time, back then with Jesus, one place, one person. No. Like the Niagara Falls, God's resurrection power just keeps coming. Through Christ, it flows to his people. And I want you to take that in. And that's why Paul exclaims here in Philippians 3, verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I once saw a fascinating documentary on the Niagara Falls, and during the Age of Invention in America, you know, a lot of people dreamed, how can we harness this amazing raw power, you know, coming over the falls? But for many years, nobody could figure out how to harness it. But then in the early 1900s, Thomas Edison figured out how electricity works. And before long, scientists had figured out how to convert hydropower to electrical power. And it began a whole new era in that region. Power from the falls made into electricity, energized, gave power to people across a wide region there. In the same way, the resurrection power given for God's people should energize them, should energize us. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Think of Peter. Think of Peter. Despite his big talk about dying for the sake of Jesus, at first he chickened out, right? When the mob seized Jesus, he fled. Later, kind of creeping into the courtyard, when questioned, he denied Jesus three times. And later, at the end of that week, we find the fearful Peter huddled behind locked doors with the rest of the disciples. But then comes Pentecost and the outpouring of the Spirit, and it made Peter bold. He boldly proclaimed the good news of Jesus in a place that he'd been fearing for his life. And through the power of the gospel, 3,000 people believed that very day. What a display of resurrection power in Peter's life. Or think of the Apostle Paul himself, who's writing this passage. No matter what the opposition he faced on his missionary journeys back in Jerusalem, he kept on going. I think a great example of that comes in Acts 14. He's on his first missionary journey, and he comes to the city of Lystra. It's located in what they called Asia Minor, then Turkey today. So he preaches the gospel there. And as often is the case, the Jewish community pushed back, and then they kind of roused up a mob, and scripture tells us they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. So he's stoned to the point everybody thinks he's dead. But get this, when his disciples gathered around him, Paul got up and went back into the city, back to where he had just been stoned to the point of death. And the next day, he's not lying on his bed, nursing his wounds, all of his bruises. It says he got up and went on his way, carried on his missionary journey. Folks, that is resurrection power of mind, not to be intimidated, to be determined, and of body to handle this kind of a beating. Paul's whole life really displayed resurrection power. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. On May 27, 1943, a large American search and rescue plane developed engine problems of its own and crashed in the vast Pacific Ocean. Of the 11 crewmen aboard, just Louis Zamperini and one other managed to survive. And defying all odds, the two stayed sane while drifting on a lifeboat for 47 days in the Pacific with the meager supplies that were stored aboard the lifecraft. And down to skin and bones after 47 days, the current had pushed them west close to the Philippines. Japanese forces picked them up and treated them cruelly. And after a while, they were sent to a prison in Japan. And there, sort of a sadistic guard singled out Louis Zamperini for intimidations and beatings and cruelty. Finally, Japan was liberated and the prisoners returned home. Louis returned to civilian life with the war over, got married, but the trauma of the war still tormented him. Today we might use the phrase PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. He drank heavily. At times he even abused his wife, and deep depression set in. But then, this is back early 50s now, maybe about 1950, Billy Graham came to the Los Angeles area on a gospel outreach. And Louis's wife attended the crusade, and she was so moved by the message of Christ's love and transformation and forgiveness, she told her husband, Louis, you've got to go. You've got to go to this gathering. And he was resistant, but finally he went with his feet dragging. But after hearing the message about Jesus' love and forgiveness, he felt a powerful stirring in his soul. And on the spot, he stood up, walked down the aisle, and accepted Jesus as his Savior and Lord. And here's the cool part. Afterward, he felt a whole new joy in life. It was as if the weight of his anger towards his tormentors had finally been lifted. And in the light of the forgiveness of his own sins, he was empowered finally to forgive those tormentors. He stopped his heavy drinking, never abused his wife again. Tensions in their marriage eased. Friends, what a transformation. What a display of resurrection power. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Now, of course, not everyone, certainly not everyone here has as dramatic a life story as Peter or Paul or Louis Zamperini. But God's people receive resurrection power to live faithfully where God has placed them. God's people receive resurrection power to live faithfully where God has placed them. I'll just share one little personal example, far more humble than these other examples. One week, when I was the pastor at West Leonard Church on the west side of Grand Rapids, I was actually called to conduct 3 funerals in 1 week. So here's how the week went. That Sunday, I preached at our morning service, led the worship, preached again. We had an evening service. That Monday morning, I conducted the first funeral. That afternoon, separately, I met with each of the other 2 families to plan the funerals for their services. On Wednesday came the second funeral service. On Saturday, conducted the 3rd funeral service. And the next day, I preached at our morning worship service again. No elders stepped in to say, we need to give you some relief here. Do the math. That's 6 services in 8 days. How did I do it? I look back and I wonder. But here's how. That week, I just clearly felt the resurrection power of the Spirit energizing me. I had really good concentration, and messages came together readily and naturally. And the importance of ministry to grieving families always motivates me, energizes. So all that week, I felt in sort of this ordinary way, God's resurrection power at work. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And let me make a distinction here. You know, the world often uses power to dominate, to control, to get its way. to extract something from others. But that's not at all what resurrection power is about. Resurrection power, bottom line, helps make us more like Jesus in all of his beautiful qualities and makes us act more like Jesus. That's the direction of resurrection power. So now I want to ask, what might this resurrection power look like in your life? What might this resurrection power look like in your life? Power to face your own wrongdoings and sins. Now, that's one of the hardest things to do. We like to downplay it, minimize it, ignore it. Power to humbly admit when you're wrong to others. And you know the hardest words, I'm sorry. Or power to forgive. Perhaps a long-running family grudge. Or the power to forgive somebody who has really hurt you to the quick. What does it mean to have resurrection power in our lives? Power to resist sexual temptation or to overcome a debilitating addiction. Power to endure some disability with courage and cheerfulness. Power to have patience even when someone is really aggravating. Power to help build up God's church and kingdom and all the people in it, even when you feel weary. Or like Peter, power to boldly point a friend, a neighbor, to the hope of Jesus. I want to know Christ and the power of the resurrection. Now, I've got a question for you. Let me ask, when you think about yourself, what do you think about? When you think about yourself, what do you think about? Perhaps your looks, perhaps your family connections, perhaps your education, perhaps skills that you have, perhaps jobs or other accomplishments. And certainly all those things are part of our identity and self-image. But I hope that with the Apostle Paul, overarching all of it, you will see yourself as having access to resurrection power. That's how you see yourself. You know, Discovery Church has been, this is sort of a last angle before I close, Discovery Church has been through a lot the last 5 years or so. 5 years ago is the beginning of the pandemic, right about this time, and all the difficulties that created and some people drifting away during that time. Recently, was adjusting to the retirement of a longtime dear pastor and then grieving his death. And now we're facing possible paths forward which will involve big change no matter what. But let's never forget that as God's people, we have resurrection power. Praise God, we have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So brothers and sisters, no matter what may lie ahead, remember, we, through Jesus Christ, have resurrection power. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Lord, we praise your name for coming to be one of us, for dying on our behalf, and for the power of God the Father to raise you from the dead. What a difference it's made for all time and eternity. And thank you that we get to participate in that, not just the forgiveness of sins, though that's awesome, that's totally necessary, but that as we live in a sin-broken world, that that needs loving power, gracious power, kindness and power, that we have access to the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Lord, probably a lot of us don't think of that way about ourselves. When we think about challenges, issues, relationships, we're not thinking about it. Help fix this in our minds. Help it settle deep in our self-image that we, your people, by faith in Jesus, receive resurrection power. And Lord, may this show in sweet ways in our lives, through humility about ourselves, through a gracious spirit that's ready to forgive, through kindness to others, through patience in aggravating situations, through a boldness when it's called for. Oh Lord, may your resurrection power flow in our lives so that those around us can't help but ask, wow, where is that coming from? What's this all about? Lord, if there's anyone here who feels mired in some difficulty, some bad habits, a relationship that seems unfulfilling, and just is discouraged, lift their eyes to you, to the great resurrection event. Help them take hope that in Jesus we have resurrection power. And we pray this all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.